Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Things between the public and local politicians are not always smooth sailing. Concerns about transparency, accountability, and the relationships between residents, staff, and council can be problematic at times. When complaints arise, every municipality in Ontario has an integrity commissioner to act as a mediator. Today's show starts with Alnwick Haldimand Township Mayor John Logal talking about the most recent integrity commissioner's report. He will give his perspective on how politicians, staff, and the public are getting along. I am absolutely delighted to have with me today Alnwick Haldimand Mayor John Logal. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Well, thank you, Robert. It's a pleasure to be back with you, and I look forward to our discussion for today.
Before we get into the 2024 Integrity Commissioner's Report, what is the Integrity Commissioner?
The Integrity Commissioner is, there can be several appointed from across the province. Our particular one handles about, 55 or 60 different customers, municipalities, I should say. And basically what their job is, to the best of my knowledge, is to investigate the closed meeting is a particular one that they are concerned about, because there's times when people have been known to close the meeting when it should be open to the public. And the integrity kind of implies to me, it implies that, we're doing stuff above board, and they do investigations on that type of stuff.
So it's my understanding that they have actually three roles. One is to register lobbyists to municipal government. The second is to, as you say, they investigate closed meetings. And the last one is they're sort of a municipal ombudsman. If people have complaints against council, they'll hear them and adjudicate them. Am I correct in that?
Yes. Yep. I would say you're exactly correct in that.
So how accurate do you feel the reports are in reflecting the ethical well-being of council? Because that's the term they use, the ethical well-being of council.
I believe their intent is good, and I believe if there's a complaint, they do a good investigation and come back with their reports.
Now, in the report for 2024, it's clear the mandate is to ensure the perception that community elected representatives are operating with integrity. They say that is the glue that sustains local democracy. How would you describe the state of local democracy in Alnwick Haldimand during this most recent term of office?
I would say the integrity is strong. There's a good commitment. I do see people have different ways of, and that's good, because they have disagreements, and disagreements are good. Because what they do is bring out what's the best in any decision or any situation. Kind of like the weak link of a chain. If you've got a good, strong chain with no weak links, I believe you get better decisions.
If you were to give council a grade on local democracy, transparency, openness, all these things that the integrity commissioner gives, what grade would you give your council?
Haven't thought of that before. On a 1 to 10, and I'm only comparing it to other ones, I would say 7. It certainly isn't perfect. I believe everybody has the good intent. sometimes they can get into disagreements, and disagreements are good as long as they stay positive. And that can weaken you if you have weakness. And but basically, what am I referring to? Sometimes there could be personal attacks or something like that. And I don't believe we have nothing like that, but that could be available.
So then, how would you describe the relationship between counsel and the public?
How would I describe it? I think we're responsive. I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding sometimes in the public what their exact role of counsel is. It is not to particularly advocate for their needs. It is to bring their needs to elected representatives, make sure there's, or not elected representatives, pardon me, staff, to make sure that they get a good understanding of what the policies are, and then council should step away and let the handle that between the two of them. And because the policies already have been established, and we want to maybe make changes to those policies, but that has to be a decision of council, not a decision of individual members.
Would you say you're listening to the public?
Yes. If there's a situation brought to our attention, we listen. We hear what they're saying. We don't always agree with it, and because we have to look at the overall picture. Lots of times, and we're trying to do a better job of this. I think we're trying to communicate better of what's going on in the township, and with the people are I found throughout life, no matter what it is, people that have the similar information will make similar decisions. It's where they don't have the information, it makes it more difficult to agree upon something.
Would you say council is transparent?
Yes. I don't believe we hold closed meetings, other than that there are some ones that call for when you're talking about an individual or you're talking about a lawyer client privileges and that type of stuff. Those are not discussed in the public, and people want to know why. Well, that's basically because there are reasons. You don't want to, for example, if there's a property being sold or something like that, that can't go out to the public because it would be unfair.
Is council responding to the concerns raised by residents? Do you feel council's responsive?
When issues are brought to our attention, I believe we do respond to them. We may not agree, as I've said before, but we listen to them and do the best we can. Sometimes it doesn't always get to council too. I'm sure there are people that wish there was more communications, but we're only a phone call away, so we can't do something if we don't know something's concerning. And I think we do try as best as the policy. Sometimes people don't like the policies, but those policies have been developed over years and years, and they do not necessarily look after individual concerns. They look after what's best for the entire population.
How about the respect shown by members of the public to council during meetings? How do you think that's going?
I think there's good respect. There is a change. There has been a change, although I don't see it too much in meetings and that type of stuff. But with COVID, with just the change in times, the social media availability, Mr. Trump and his way of dealing with politics, and even our own, like the Ottawa, when they had the road, the truckers and the road strike and closing that, that's kind of disrespectful for members of council, elected officials. And I think there is a change, and I think the integrity commissioner even mentioned that too. It's all over. There's just a different attitude of a little bit less trust and respect for members of elected officials, whether that be municipal or federal, provincial, wherever you want to go. Though I don't feel it that it's that strong here.
There were 7 complaints reported over the year. How does that compare to other years during this term?
I would say that's high.
What do you think precipitated that?
I believe like people are socially aware of what's going on in social media and that type of stuff. I think that can contribute to it. I think the fact in Alma Calderman, we had a change in council members. Apparently, historically, there's been one or two changes, but this time there were several changes in the council membership makeup, as well as in the first year, there was several staff changeovers. And I think that probably all led to a little bit of uncertainty. And that's what may have affected some.
Now I know.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So that's this. I don't get to see the 7 complaints. I'm aware of them, but that's a bit. Well, his report tells me that, but we don't get into the individuals because a lot of it is confidential with the integrity commissioner.
That was just about what I was going to say to you. I understand that he handled all 7 complaints without having to report to council on these. But do you know if the complaints were satisfied? Do you even get any indication like that?
On the 7? No, I don't.
The integrity commissioner identified a number of learning opportunities. The first is the disclosure of confidential information from closed meeting sessions. Do you find this is an issue on your council?
No, I don't. I think that perhaps it was a little bit of a concern at the first, when we first were elected. Like I mentioned, there were several new people coming on. I think after some training and actual issues that come up, we have all members have a better understanding of what a closed meeting is supposed to be and how we come out of those meetings.
Another area the integrity commissioner identified was the use of disparaging remarks at council. And you've already alluded to the fact that, you know, debates can get heated. How respectful do you find councillors to be to each other?
Sometimes people take stuff personal. And when they take stuff personal, it can come back strongly. They can come back strongly. And I do believe that through inexperience on perhaps a lot of different issues, situations, people just don't understand it all. And they sometimes can be, you call it disparagement. I call it antitrust or lack of respect, I think is a better word for it. I know there were some issues early on in our mandate, but I believe they're all been better understood now, and people do have the respect for all members of council.
But what about the respect between politicians sitting on advisory committees and that relationships? Because those are important as well.
We have had some challenges with some of our committees, and I believe it a lot has to do with the terms of reference. And sometimes they aren't understood, or people think that this is what they're supposed to do. But and that's the way they want to do it. However, they must remember that they are committees of council, and committee do investigations and make recommendations to council as to what they feel how we should proceed. And, you know, most of the time we go right along with them. However, there are some times where because we know of financial constraints or policies that we just can't move that way. So, but as long as the terms of reference are clear and understood, I think there's shouldn't be any problem that way.
What about staff and politicians? How does that respectful relationship work?
It works. In my opinion, it works best when people understand their responsibilities and the responsibilities of a council person, which is to listen and advocate, maybe not advocate, but listen and bring the thoughts of residents to staff, where staff is the day-to-day operators of the corporation, and they make the daily day-to-day decisions. And, you know, people sometimes want to, council members want to help out an individual, and that's not their purpose. Their purpose is to, yes, help them out by getting the information, but not advocating on behalf of someone to try and promote their specific issues. That's that. We have a council, and it's made up of five different people, and we all make a decision. And the policies and procedures that we have in place should address those needs and wants of a person, and staff are there to fulfill the direction of council. And that's mostly comes through policies and procedures.
In 2023, during a council meeting on short-term rentals, the police had to be called because politicians feared for their safety. What was done since then to ensure that this was not repeated?
We have a, I believe we have a better understanding of what is expected. We ask people when they come into the meeting to, you know, follow our procedural policies, and I think we know the both council and staff know the policies as put out in our procedural bylaw. And if things start to get out of control, they're asked to do a couple of different things to prevent from getting out of hand. And that can be take a 5-minute recess or bring it to the person's attention that they're disrupting the meeting, and that can't be tolerated.
It was reported in May 2024 that 6 members of the Heritage Committee resigned. How did this get resolved, and what is the current status?
Current status is there are 2 members of new members that have come on, and we are looking for actively looking for more members. And the 6 that left, to much of my recollection, they were offered the opportunity to come back, but they decided it was in their best interest not to come back.
Was there any change in policy or procedure to help facilitate relations between committee members and politicians and staff?
I believe, to answer that, the terms of reference were not clearly understood, and I believe that there was a new terms of reference put out so people could better understand what was expected.
Now, this is not the only committee that has faced tensions. The library board and a council member have had a falling out, and there was legal action actually taken. I don't want to get into any legal matters because I know you can't comment on the status of any action. I want to know, has it been resolved, yes or no?
To answer your specific question, no. And the other thing that I would like to comment, this started back prior to this term of council.
Is this incident representative of any ongoing tensions between politicians, committees, or other members of council?
No, it's not something that's routine, if that's your question. No, it's quite unusual.
And
I can't really discuss too much of it because it is confidential.
I understand, and I don't want to get into any of that, but I want to get a sense of, it is highly unusual that council members take legal action against committee members or other members of council. And can you give me some indication of, since this incident, has there been anything else that happened? Is this a concern of council's? Are you worried about these ongoing types of problems? Can you clarify that at least?
That's a difficult question. I would have to say, no, I can't clarify one way or the other. I just assume not answer that question.
How much do you and council use social media?
I believe several members of council refer to it frequently. Personally, I don't. I've got enough information coming at me that I don't need all of that stuff.
So how would you describe then the type of discourse that you experience or your council members experience on social media? And is it helpful for you or others in determining how people feel about a particular issue?
It is important, and I use both members of staff as well as council members for feedback when they see something that is unusual and they think it should be brought to my attention.
Now, the Integrity Commissioner indicated that training takes place for council members. And I was wondering if that training is still going on, and how is that ensuring that politicians and the residents of the township are benefiting from the education of councillors and politicians and staff towards resolving issues and ensuring that people are being heard and that council is transparent?
We actually hired a consultant who came in, when was that? Back in earlier this year, and spent a full day with us, senior staff as well as council members. And, you know, we discussed some issues and different ways that he thought that person thought that could be handled. He was a really good coach and mentor with lots of experience on both the staff side as well as the elected official side.
So if someone was observing a council meeting or a committee meeting, what would be examples of how things have improved? What are you doing that's new that you think is making it better for the public and for council and staff?
I think staff has made a big contribution to that. Their reports, we've been running quite short of staff for a little while. And now that we're able to get better reports, we're able to make decisions based on those reports. I believe that's a lot better. I believe that I've learned that to keep the meeting moving is beneficial. People don't get, if the meetings get too long, then you get tough decisions avoided and argumentative and that type of stuff. And I've learned that if you can keep the meetings down to about 2.5-3 hours, that it's made a lot of difference.
I want to talk about one example. The old Danforth Road subdivision has been on the books for quite a while. Can you just quickly give us a description of this proposal and its current status?
There's a proposal for a development called New Danforth. It is located south of the village or hamlet, and on the easterly portion of the boundary, the hamlet boundary. There is about 65 proposed residents in there. They're coming off a local road, and there was talk at one time, I'll just mention that quickly, there was talk at one time of having to come off two different roads, one off County Road 2 and the other one off the local road, Danforth Road, Old Danforth Road.
All right. So as an example then, there was a recent public meeting and there were concerns over traffic were raised. And I just wonder off the top, have these been addressed? Has there been a traffic study yet?
My understanding is that there was an initial traffic study done when the proposal was first put out. And there were some concerns raised, and my understanding of it is those concerns were looked at by the engineers, and I believe they're at the peer review stage right now.
So if residents are concerned, are they anticipating this study and then hopefully all these traffic issues will be resolved?
They will be in investigated, and you know, the professionals will make a determination of what their recommendation would be for that.
Okay. Now, there was also a concern at that meeting raised about construction and the safety on roads and for residents as the construction was taking place. Has that been addressed?
that will be addressed as before the final recommendations come to council, I believe.
Now, how much of this proposal is affordable housing?
I'm not aware of any of it being for affordable housing.
Okay, then how are you meeting the demand that is coming from the province for meeting affordable housing targets? How is Alnwick Haldimand contributing to that?
Our biggest contributions on something like that is through private properties where we allow, where we used to allow only one resident per land opportunity, I guess, or whatever. But now they're allowed up to three residents on an individual lot. And we've been able to promote, I can't give the number, but over the last two or three years, I'm going to say there's 10 or more homes that are doing stuff like that. Currently, we don't own the property. So if the developer wants to produce what he wants to sell, and it's very difficult. I'm hearing that from not only our community, but from, you listen to the news, builders aren't building because although there's demand there for short-term, or pardon me, for housing that's supported, builders aren't building that because they can't make money at it, is what I'm told.
So then do you feel that rural municipalities have a responsibility to address affordable housing?
Yes, I do. I do believe we do. And we are part of the homeless or homes initiative in throughout the county. I don't know all the details on it, but I know that we are working towards getting more homes built, as everybody in Ontario is as well, to the best of their ability.
John Logal, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
I appreciate the opportunity.
That was Alnwick Haldimand Township Mayor John Logal. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.